From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty reporting. South Sudanese rebel leader Riek Machar is back in the capital, Juba, taking the oath as the country's top vice president. After Tuesday's swearing-in, President Salva Kiir said he and Machar would immediately proceed to form the transitional government of national unity called for in last year's peace accord.
All of us who are stakeholders have the collective responsibility to make sure that we cooperate and work together as one team so that we deliver results. I therefore call upon all of you, and especially the first vice president and the vice president, to cooperate with me so that we return our country and people to the peaceful coexistence.
Machar, for his part, promised cooperation. U.S. spokesman Mark Toner welcomed these developments.
The return of Riek Machar to Juba and his swearing in as first vice president today represents an important step towards formation of a transitional government of national unity and a second chance to reclaim the promise that this young nation deserves.
Machar's return raises hope the country's 30-year conflict would finally end after leaving tens of thousands dead, more than 2 million displaced. In Syria, airstrikes and shelling Tuesday took the lives of at least 25 more civilians, mostly in the largest city, Aleppo. UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon in Austria expressed concern.
I'm deeply concerned about developments on the ground, especially the attacks in Damascus yesterday and Aleppo overnight. UN Special Envoy Staffan de Mistura and others are working very hard to keep the cessation of hostilities on track.
Mr. Ban said the ceasefire must remain intact to ensure delivery of desperately needed humanitarian supplies. This is VOA News. New York businessman Donald Trump Tuesday swept all five states holding Republican Party primary elections, solidifying his front-runner status for the party's presidential nomination. Trump won in Connecticut, Delaware, Maryland, Pennsylvania, and Rhode Island. On the Democratic side, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton won four of five states.
With your help, we're going to come back to Philadelphia for the Democratic National Convention. With the most votes and the most pledged delegates.
Vermont Socialist Senator Bernie Sanders won Rhode Island, but Clinton maintains her front-runner status. The next contest, Indiana, May 3rd. U.S. Major General Peter Gersten, Deputy Commander of Operations and Intelligence, said Tuesday the number of foreign fighters entering Iraq and Syria to join Islamic State has plunged to a tiny fraction of those entering a year ago. Speaking from Baghdad, Gersten said the monthly rate of 1,500 to 2,000 entering both countries has been cut to about 200. He also said IS desertion rates are on the rise. The UN Tuesday warned some 60 million people worldwide are in need of assistance caused by the climate phenomenon known as El Niño that has brought both drought and flooding to parts of the world. Stephen O'Brien is the Undersecretary General for Humanitarian Affairs and Emergency Relief Coordinator.
Some 60 million people across Eastern and Southern Africa, Central America, the Caribbean, Asia, and the Pacific, they are trying to survive, but they have droughts, they have floods, they have erratic weather events, all linked to El Niño.
He predicted the effects of El Niño, the cooling of Pacific Ocean waters, will peak later this year or early next, with 13 countries requesting more than $3 billion in aid. The U.S. has pledged its support for the new Ukrainian government as it embarks on a push of reform. Assistant Secretary of State for European and Eurasian Affairs Victoria Nuland met in Kiev Tuesday with the newly elected Prime Minister Volodymyr Groysman and the chairman of Ukraine's parliament. The African Union weighed in on the controversy over the Western Sahara Tuesday, a former Spanish territory annexed by Morocco in 1975. The AU's envoy for the territory, former Mozambican President Joaquin Chissano, warned war could reignite unless steps are taken to find a settlement. The famous chimes of Big Ben in London will be silenced, so the 160-year-old clock of the British Parliament can undergo some urgent and major repairs. The $42 million worth of repairs are expected to fix the clock's faces and mechanism, cracks in the tower's masonry, and corrosion in the roof. The clock's faces will also be returned to their original 19th century color. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.